Steve Pond is the Academy Awards blogger for TheWrap.com, and he joins us now from Los Angeles. Steve, first question, what's Hollywood buzzing about going into this weekend?
Well, I think it's a strange Oscar season because in a lot of ways there are certain winners everybody knows Colin Firth is going to win. Everybody thinks King's Speech is – I mean there are a lot of things that seem like they're locked down. And then there's a lot of uncertainty, both in who's going to win and is Banksy going to show up. I mean it has the potential to be a very predictable Oscar show, but it also has the potential to have a lot of surprises, and I don't think people know which way it's going to go.
Part of the surprise, I guess, is in the Best Picture category, where you've got 10 nominees, as we did last year for the first time in a while. And explain the system for picking the Best Picture, would you?
Yeah, when they went to 10 nominees, they didn't want to create a situation where you could win with 15 or 20% of the vote. They wanted the winner to be sort of a consensus favorite of the Academy. So they went to what they call preferential voting, which they use to determine the nominees, where the number – you have to rank every picture on the ballot 1 through 10, and then it looks at your first choices, but then it eliminates other movies and redistributes the votes. And basically what you end up with is the movie that the most people in the Academy like best, even if it might not be number one on the most number of ballots.
And how well do Academy voters understand that system, do you think?
I think Academy voters don't understand the system at all. I think some voters do. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about it. I think a lot of people feel like it's a weighted voting system. So you have to, if you're a big fan of The Social Network, well, that means you want to put King's Speech number 10 instead of number 2. And I mean, there's a lot of people trying to play games who don't understand the system, who don't understand that won't work.
And when you say a lot of people don't understand the system, I think there's some 5,700 members of the Academy who get to vote on this. When you say some people don't understand it, is this the 86-year-old, former Best Actress winner from the 1940s who doesn't understand it, or are studio heads also confused?
Oh, I get phone calls. I've gotten, a few phone calls every year from people at the studio saying, can you explain how this works to us? It's not just, the old retired Academy voters. I mean, it's people who work on movies about computers and the internet who ought to know how technology works. I mean, it's kind of across the board, I've found. There's just a general misunderstanding of exactly how this voting system works and how it does allow you to, to vote for your favorites in the order of your favorites. And I don't know. I think there is a widespread misunderstanding. I don't think it's enough to really affect things. And I think a lot of people don't even try to understand it and just rank their favorites, which is what they should do anyway.
You always see these big campaigns, that the studios run to convince voters, for your consideration, please vote for this. Or they can't say that, I guess, but they try to trump up their film or their nominee. How does this system of preferential voting, how does that change the strategy for the studios?
Well, the basic change in strategy, I think, is that it's not enough to get a lot of people to vote for your movie. You have to convince the people who aren't voting for your movie to rank your movie second or third. So it just adds another layer. It's like your target is not just the fans of your movie or the people who could be fans of your movie. Your target is the people who like something else better but might like you too.
Now, let me see what I want to ask here. So I guess by now, actually, the folks at PricewaterhouseCoopers, they know who the winner is because they've counted the ballots, I think, on Wednesday. But what are you hearing about the turnout? I mean, are people excited to be voting? Are they waiting to the last minute to cast their ballots? What are you hearing?
Well, what I've always heard from the Price Waterhouse guys is that when they send out the Oscar ballots, they get a lot of ballots back right away. And then it sort of trickles in, and then they get a lot of ballots at the last minute. It's hard work to see all the movies that are nominated for the Oscars. And I think a lot of voters do try to see everything, which means, it's going to take some time. I know that I've been told that there's a steady stream of people going into the Price Waterhouse offices the last day that ballots are due, turning them in and messengering them in and FedExing them. So, you know, I think a lot of people waited, and then there were people who made up their minds and you know, turned their ballots in right away. But I also think, I mean, the Pricewaterhouse people have told me that there's an exceptionally high level of participation. So I don't think you have too many people who can vote for the Academy Awards who say, oh, I'll pass this year.
Now let's look at your top choices. You're a little bit out of the mainstream, I have to say, defying the conventional wisdom. You ranked Black Swan first, followed by Winter's Bone, which is a small film about a family living in the Ozarks. And then Toy Story 3, you ranked third. What are those rankings based on? Is that simply your favorites or who you think will actually win?
Well, that's if I had a ballot, if they sent me an Oscar ballot and said, rank your favorites, that's what I would vote for. I mean, you know, Black Swan, of the 10 Best Picture nominees, that was my favorite movie of the year. I know that Black Swan has no chance at all of winning. I know that if I were a real Oscar voter, you know, that my vote for Black Swan would end up not counting, and then the vote would drop down to Winner's Bone, and that would have been eliminated, and I'd probably end up voting for King's Speech, which I had fourth. So, you know, my predictions are something completely different. You know, my predictions, I think that King's Speech is going to win, but in my heart, you know, I would love to see Black Swan win.
You also said that Colin Firth is kind of a shoo-in. He played King George VI in The King's Speech. What are some of the other categories that you find interesting where maybe the race is a little more up in the air or just off the radar that you think people should be watching for?
Well, I think the Best Director race is completely up in the air. I mean, it could easily go to Tom Hooper, who directed The King's Speech, but it could also very easily go to David Fincher, who directed The Social Network. I think, you know, that's a very interesting race because you could end up with a split between picture and director, which is very rare. I think supporting actress is the acting race that's the most wide open, and I could almost see any five of them winning.
Just run through those quickly, if you would.
Sure. You know, Melissa Leo from The Fighter is considered the favorite, but she's sort of hurt herself by financing her own ad campaign that some people thought was a little tacky. Amy Adams, also from The Fighter, you know, is very well liked and could come on. Helena Bonham Carter from The King's Speech, there's a lot of love for that movie. You know, something could happen there. And then you have Hailee Steinfeld from True Grit, who it's not really a supporting performance. It's a lead performance. And, you know, and that could make people say, you know what, this is the most substantial work here. And then you have Jackie Weaver from this, you know, little Australian crime movie called Animal Kingdom, which would be a completely out of the blue choice. But, you know, supporting actress is a category where you often have completely out-of-the-blue choices.
Just explain. You know, I think some people watch the Academy Awards and they'll look at supporting actor nominees like, say, Jeffrey Rush from The King's Speech or Christian Bale from The Fighter, and they'll say, well, wait a minute, he was the leading actor. How is it that someone is picked for leading actor nominee versus supporting actor? Who makes that decision?
The decision as to whether you go into lead or supporting is made entirely by the voters. I mean, you have studios who say to themselves, you know, okay, Christian Bale has a better chance if we campaign him for supporting actor than if we campaign him for lead because we know Colin Firth is going to win lead. So let's push Christian Bale for supporting. That doesn't mean that the Actors Branch has to accept that. When you get your Oscar ballot, if you're an actor, there's a letter from the governors of your branch saying, don't pay attention to the ads, vote for the person in the category where you think they belong. So, you know, but the power of suggestion, if everybody's out there saying Christian Bale is the best supporting actor, then, you know, I think a lot of Academy members will tend to put him in that category.
Finally, Steve, a quick question about the hosts for this year's big show. James Franco, who is also a nominee, he's up for Best Actor in 127 Hours, and Anne Hathaway, two sort of younger folks, I guess, compared to past year's hosts. What do you make of that choice?
Well, I think it's a very interesting choice. I mean, I think that the Academy came to a decision a couple years ago when they had Hugh Jackman host, that the idea of always bringing in a stand-up comic who'd done some movies was starting to feel a little played out. And it was time maybe to look for movie stars up there. You know, the problem is that most movie stars would not want to do that gig because it's really, really tough. So I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, Franco and Anne Hathaway, it's a risk, but, you know, certainly I think you'll get some younger viewers. I mean, unlike a Billy Crystal who will bring in a lot of his own material, you know, they'll be very dependent on what the writers prepare for them. But, you know, I think it's a gamble worth taking, and Franco certainly seems game for anything. I mean, both of them do, really, but, you know, Franco posted an audio file online of him singing Cher's song from Burlesque, and it's just god-awful, but it makes it so much fun. And it was apparently he was going to perform it on the show in drag, and then Cher was going to come out and join him. But the song didn't get nominated, so they had to throw that out.
Oh, what a shame. What a shame.
I think a few moments like that on the Oscar show would be great.
Yeah. Well, Steve, final question. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be on election night? Let me do that again. Final question, Steve. Where are you going to be on the big night, Sunday night? Where are you going to be watching?
You know what? I'm not sure where I'm going to be. I'm going to be on the red carpet first, and then my plan was to go home because I live close to the theater and watch it on TV and then come back for the governor's ball. I've since learned that if you leave the premises, you might have a very hard time getting back. So I'm still trying to figure out exactly where I'm going to be during the show.
All right. Steve Pond, Academy Awards blogger for TheWrap.com. Steve, thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you.